Hey everybody, welcome into the Jayhawk Talk podcast on a very, very cold Sunday. This is Kevin. Join with me as always is Andrew. Andrew, you must be cold because you are wearing a KU stocking cap.
Yeah, I came from outside and I just didn't take it off.
Fair enough.
It's freezing outside, but this is a Christmas gift from Sapboy that I just happen to appreciate, and I'm wearing inside, making a new fashion statement.
I don't think that's new. I think that's a thing that happens.
Oh, well, it's new to me.
Fair enough. Maybe you should shave all your hair off like I do. Then you wear them all the time, everywhere you go.
Just an excuse to do that?
Yeah, that's the reason. Yeah, that's the only reason.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about some KU stuff because this is the Jayhawk Talk podcast. And Andrew, the Jayhawks won a game yesterday on Saturday against Texas Tech down in Lubbock. Being an away game, we were not there, but we didn't watch it together this time. I was in Manhattan, Kansas.
Ooh, Manhattan.
Yeah, it was Manhattan for a thing. And a club thing that I do there. It's a long story, but the point is I was watching the game in a bowling alley in Manhattan, Kansas. And luckily they did get ESPNU, which that was a whole thing for a while till we got the TV changed. And then they were like, you want to watch the KU game? And I was like, yeah. And I wasn't wearing KU stuff cause I was still wearing stuff from this event. And, he was like, why? I was like, cause I got money on it. Who cares? Put the game on. And he's like, oh, okay, sure, sure. And so he puts the game on, and I'm surrounded by, like, K-State folks. And not, like the K-State folks that go to K-State. These are the, like, the boot-wearing, like, kind of...
We go to K-State. We root for K-State.
Yeah, like,
Bill
these
Snyder's
folks...
my boy.
Yeah, it was like, you know, drinking Budweiser's and
Church
just,
of Jordy Nelson.
Exactly. And so I was, like, trying to not... Like, I didn't want to make a thing, but I wanted to watch this KU game. So I'm watching it, and I think once I turned it to it, they were like, what is this on? Like, I started hearing people, like, murmuring and stuff. And so I started feeling like, I got to defend this TV somehow. I got to defend this before they change it. And so I saw the playoff game was still going on the other TVs, or on some TVs down the way. I was like, hey, can you turn the playoff game on that one to distract these people? So he turns this playoff game on the other TV. So they stopped paying attention until I start reacting to three-pointers going in.
Ooh, so it's at the very end then.
Yeah, and it was in the definitely the second half. I can't remember. I tweeted it out, but I was like, I let out like, yeah, like after a three pointer, and like it was one of those like everybody stops like the screech of the, and everyone just kind of looked at me. I'm like, uh-oh, I'm found, abort, I've been found out. But yeah, I got a lot of crap. Luckily, you know, they were not drunk enough to really do anything.
So
but,
you made it through the whole thing.
I did make it through the whole
thing. That's all I can ask
for. Good victory, and then I got out of there. Anyway. But where did you watch it?
I actually watched it with your wife.
That's right.
Because that's right. You were out of town. But
that's right.
Don't worry, Kevin. All that happened was your wife taught my girlfriend how to use Bitmoji.
Oh, Christ.
And that's a bit of a crisis.
I'm so
not,
sorry.
Not crisis, but yeah. So I just got Bitmojis texted to me all night. From that side of the table.
I'm so sorry.
But yeah, so we watched it at the other place with a bunch of folks there in Old Overland Park. And it was mostly drunk Chiefs fans, still drunk from earlier in the day. So we had a little corner to ourselves watching the KU game. But it was mostly just drunk Chiefs fans.
Sounds right.
Which, you know, I love the Chiefs. But sometimes Chiefs fans I don't like.
I'm kind of with you. Chiefs fans are sort of the worst.
I'm a Chiefs fan. But then there are Chiefs fans and then there are Chiefs fans.
Yeah. And those are like the ones you want to be at the stadium because they create such a great atmosphere. But I don't want to like be around them otherwise type of thing. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. That goes back to the old Camaro head joke.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well,
but
here
it
we
was
are
still
talking
fun
about
to
the
see
Chiefs.
The game, and we won. So, all good.
We did win. All right. So, let's get into that game for a little bit. Texas Tech, we were a little concerned about this game because, you know, they're obviously better. We do not play well down there for whatever reason. You can come up with as many reasons as you want, but I just like to think there's like some vortex in Lubbock that like sucks the life out of everything, and that's the reason. And I think I'm probably right, but we'll see. 69-59, we did win the game by double digits. It didn't seem like it was, you know, that big of a margin throughout the whole game. I think that actually ended up being our biggest margin, was 10 points throughout the game. So a good win on the road. I think Self said after the game something like, you know, we don't apologize for wins on the road in the Big 12, and you shouldn't. But the difference to me, Andrew, a couple things. One that jumped out was rebounds. We out-rebounded them 40-23, which is kind of insane. We had two guys with double-digit rebounds in Perry Ellis and Frank Mason. More on that later. And then free throws was obviously a big disparity as well. We made 14 of 16. They actually shot more. They shot 19, but they only went 9 of 19 from the free throw line. So not a hot night from the free throw line for the Red Raiders.
Yeah, and Brian Haney talked about that with us last Wednesday.
That's right,
you know, talked about how it's such an improved team because of the free throws, but did not see that in this game. And you definitely see if they make, let's say they make 75%, of those free throws, you know, this is a different game, you know, you know, because the score at the end is 10, but it wasn't a 10-point game, you
right,
know, all the way through. So, you know, if things go a little bit better for them on something that we can't control,
right,
this game looks completely different. But, you know, all in all, I thought statistically we dominated every statistical category other than maybe turnovers, every statistical category other than shooting. Like, everything else was going right. Everything else was going pretty well, I thought.
Ball just wasn't going in.
Ball just wasn't going in. And, you know, sometimes that happens. And, you know, ultimately, the three-pointers, it just seemed like weren't falling. It seemed like one of the worst nights we've ever had from three. But when you look at the statistics, we still ended up shooting 41% from three.
Isn't that crazy?
Which is a pretty good statistic, especially on the road. So those late three-pointers definitely helped out that statistic and, you know, obviously helped us win that game. Those don't go down. We're not looking so bright. But, you know, it just seems like, you know, the process was there. Everything that, you know, if you're playing well according to the process, those things happened. Just ball didn't fall in.
Yeah, I think you're right. There were some, you know, we missed a lot of shots. A lot of them we have been making. 41% from three is still pretty good. Obviously still below our average, which is stupid high. But, you know, I think we're averaging something like 89 points a game, too. So we were 20 points under that. And it just, whatever, for whatever reason, you know, the ball wasn't going in. And but, you know, I think they defended pretty well. I think they had energy. They, you know, for some games in Texas Tech, we sometimes don't have energy because there's no energy in the building at all. Well, it sounded like there was quite a bit of energy.
Especially after Oklahoma. Like,
right. Also true. Yeah, exactly.
Those four guys playing 50 plus minutes. How are you going to have any energy?
Right. And, you know, maybe a letdown game a little bit, or a trap game, or whatever you want to call it. But I thought they took care of business. They looked like a team, Andrew, that that looks like the number one team in the country. You have to go win these games however you can win them. They didn't play necessarily like the number one team in the country, but this is kind of like one of those games that it's Kansas versus Texas Tech. You're supposed to win it. They went down. They won it. They did what they're supposed to do. So I didn't have a lot to take away from this game, but I did think a couple off-the-court things. There was a cool gesture by Texas Tech to honor Bob Davis. Did you see that? They gave him some boots or something?
Yeah, gave him some Texas Tech boots down there.
That was our boy Brian Haney out there on the floor handing him those. So I wonder, this got me thinking, is this going to be like a thing, the Bob Davis victory tour, where he like gets honored at every school? Or do you think this was just like a Brian Haney thing?
Well, I think the most likely spot for that to happen is at Texas Tech because of his relationship with Brian Haney. But, you know, Bob Davis is very well respected amongst everyone in the Big 12 and across the country. So I don't think this is the only place it'll happen. Most likely to happen in Lubbock. But, you know, Brian referred to him as the Dean of Big 12 announcers. So
I think that's his title. I think it's an official title.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Whether it's an official title or an unofficial title.
I think it is.
What's the, is there
they take a picture every year at the Big 12 tournament together. They all go out to dinner.
He's the dean. So he sits. And he's the patriarch, sits at the head of the table and orders the wine.
Right. Exactly. I can see him doing that.
So I think it'll happen elsewhere. But, you know, because of their relationship and their closeness, I bet that, you know, you know, Lubbock's the right place for that to happen. And but I wouldn't doubt if it happens at K-State. You know, those guys are very close with him as well.
I think it'll happen more. I think we'll see it quite a bit. Maybe this was good to do it the one time. Now the rest of the schools feel like, ah, crap, we got to get some for Bob. We got to go do that. But, you know, we did, like, the norm, you know.
The chair.
The chair and, like, all that stuff. And so, I think that's cool.
Let's think about this for a second. Like, what would be the gifts from other schools? And we don't have to be nice about this. So, you know, Texas Tech gives out boots. Like, what should other schools give out? Like, that's very symbolic of their school. Anything pop up off the top of your head?
Oh, man. How about for K-State, give Bob Davis a cassette tape. The only thing that's on it is Sandstorm.
Just over and over again?
Just over and over. On repeat? Like, on repeat. Just,
yeah, because he's not going to hear it anymore.
Right.
All right, for K-State, what I have?
Yeah.
A Dillard's gift card.
Okay, that's funny.
You remember Jacob Pullen?
Pullen, yeah, yeah.
I think it's Jamar Samuels. I don't want to sully their names if it's wrong. But Jacob Pullen, at least, was suspended for getting free to discounted stuff from Dillard's. So Bob can enjoy that little perk, too.
That is nice. Oh, man. Okay, how about from West Virginia? They will give him a couch, a non-burned couch.
As long as it's non-burned.
It has to be non-burned. No burning.
We need to get
couch.
An assurance from them that it's non-burned. But even an assurance from them, I don't trust it. We're going to end up with a burned couch for Bob, which I don't appreciate.
100% agree.
The only one I have that's off the top of my head is for Texas, they could give him his own show on the Longhorn Network.
There you go.
Because they've got that to give. No one watches that network anyway. Maybe it'll bring some eyeballs to it. I would watch it.
I would too. I'm running a little low here for trying to think of some new ones. Oklahoma State, they could just give him a Keaton Page. Just like a Keaton Page.
Just give him one. Just, you know.
Yeah, just one of those.
Just put him up on his little shelf. Just have him sit there. Little guy.
Keaton on the shelf.
Keaton on the shelf. I like it. Okay, so this was obviously a little off the cuff. I'm sure there's a million better ones. How about we do tweet to Kevin or just use the hashtag gifts for Bob.
Gifts for Bob.
Hashtag gifts for Bob. I like about it. What other schools or Kentucky. We still have Kentucky on the schedule.
That's true.
Should give Bob Davis as a parting gift as he retires at the end of the year. So hashtag gifts for Bob. Tweet it to Kevin at Jayhawk Talk or me, Sherlock Hoops, and we'll retweet the best ones.
I like it.
Gifts for Bob. Hashtag gifts for Bob.
I like it. All right, Andrew, let's talk a little bit more about this game. One thing, the big guy rotation, the front court, still continues to be very confusing. Hunter started the game, of course, and played a total of 5 minutes for the entire game. Landon had 16. He led the pack, of course, and Jamari Traylor had 12. Carlton Bragg had 14, including some nice minutes to start the second half. And then, of course, Diallo there with only 3 minutes of play. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of done just trying to make sense of this.
I think that it's funny that you're trying to solve this like it's a puzzle, like it's something that can be solved, because it's not. It's not something that, like, you can get an answer to, because I don't think we're going to get an answer to it. It's like, I think it's like jazz, Kevin. Just, we don't know what's going to happen next week. We don't know what's going to happen the week after that. It's just going to come to us. We'll see. Maybe Jamari's going to play 40 minutes. Who knows, man?
Okay. All right.
Because we don't know. Like, this is a work in progress. This is something that I don't even think Bill Self knows.
Obviously.
And no one knows. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with, like, trying to figure this thing out.
I've grown increasingly okay with it. The only thing that, you know, you question is Self has, in the past, kind of tightened up his rotation about this time and coming out of Christmas break, and we kind of have, it's, you know, pretty well set. This is obviously not set at all. So
I think that maybe that's just how it's true. That's true to a certain extent. The other side of that is that four guys are averaging 30 plus minutes. So, like, those guys are pretty set in stone. It's just Agreed. This other little pocket that we don't know about. So, like, 80% of it is figured out 100%.
Agreed.
80% figured out 100%. Too many percentages in that sentence. But we know that Frank and Devontae and Wayne and Perry are going to play most of those minutes. It's the rest of it that we're trying to figure out, which isn't a ton.
Yeah, but at the same time, but no, you know what? I'm not even going to go there. I'm just done. I'm done trying to figure out. Here I was going to start to say something, and now I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to let it go.
Just let it come to you. Just let it pour all over you, Kevin. Just let it come to you.
Just all that Landon Lucas just, just coming down. All right. Let's talk about these double-doubles. So Frank had 17 and 10 and 5 assists. So it was like a triple 2.5-er. And Perry had 17, 10, and 2. Who, Andrew, is the most likely this year on our team to get a triple-double?
It's got to be Frank Mason. I don't think that Perry's ever going to be in a situation where he's going to get 10 assists or even 10 blocks like what he did back in the day.
Right.
Frank could very easily get a triple-double with the rebounds. So I think he's more likely to get...
What about Wayne?
Wayne too. But Frank's shown us he's more capable of getting up those numbers.
I think you're right. I think it's Frank. Okay, here's another question, Andrew. Who is most likely on the team to get a triple-triple?
100 points, 100 rebounds, and 100 assists or blocks?
That's correct. Yeah. We haven't seen one of those.
Check Diallo. It's more like most likely to get a triple-triple.
Is that a thing? That should be a thing. A triple-triple, right?
It is a thing. It could be a thing if it ever happened.
Like, I think I just made it a thing.
Okay, well, you can keep waiting for that triple-triple, but...
Hashtag triple-triple. All right. Do you have some thoughts on these double-doubles out there?
Yes, 10 rebounds? Which brings us into the deep dive. I want to talk a little bit about Frank Mason's rebounding skills. Okay, so is time for Andrew's deep dive. Dun, 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 dun. No music. Okay, so I want to talk about 10 rebound games, which gives you a double, right? A double, mm-hmm. double, or just a single double, 10 rebound game. In the Big 12, the active people who have 10 rebounds in a game, see if you can notice what they all have in common. We have Rico Gathers, Jonathan Holden, Devin Williams, Ryan Spangler, Buddy Hield, Cameron Ridley.
Big guys.
Perry Ellis. Let me finish and then you can come up with it. Perry Ellis, Kavar Shepard, Jamil McKay, Turian Prince, Connor Lammert. What do they all have in common other than Buddy Hield?
Big guys.
They're all huge guys. They're okay? Big. Frank Mason, he's a little guy. So I did my deep dive is I figured out the average height of the guys who have 10 rebounds in a game active Big 12. 6'8". The guys who are, this is including Buddy Hield, so he's a guard. He's 6'4". And he's got a couple games, several games with 10 rebounds. But he's, you know, otherworldly player at this point and, you know, early times in his career. Frank Mason joins that club. I think he's got 2 now. He had 1 at the early last year, and now he's got 1 against Texas Tech. Frank Mason is listed at 5'11", and that's generous because I've stood next to him, and I think I'm taller than him, and I'm 5'10".
Yeah.
So he's 5'10", maybe 9.
Yeah, but can you dunk?
No, I cannot.
I mean, neither.
He can dunk. So he's nearly a foot shorter than the average height of what it takes to get 10 rebounds in a game. You know, you see a lot of teams on a missed shot, especially, either offensively or defensively. They use their guards in different ways. So if it's an offensive miss, I mean, the guys break back, or if they're, you know, to avoid a run out, or if it's, you know, on the defensive end, guys run down to try to get a layup of their own. But Frank doesn't do that. Frank goes for the ball every time and gets a lot of them. And so when you see these outlandish rebound numbers against, you know, pretty solid teams like Texas Tech, at least defensively, that we're out rebounding them. What was your number? A lot to not.
Yeah. What was it? 40 to 23.
A lot of it's coming on the hands of the guards, especially Frank Mason getting 10 rebounds in a game where he's the shortest player on the floor by far. So just think to get 10 rebounds in a game, you have to be, you know, relentless tracking the ball down, but you also have to be tall because, you know, 6'8" is the average height to get that. And Not him. He's a little
not guy. Him.
He does it. So, you know, a lot of our production is coming from little things like that that we don't necessarily notice. And I think part of that leads to, if you follow Ken Pomeroy, which I do, and you do now too.
Yeah, you got me into it a little bit
more. Frank is now listed in the Ken Pom Player of the Year standings at number 10. A lot of it's probably coming, you know, on these statistics from his rebounding ability. For those of you wondering, Perry Ellis is at 8.
Wow.
But anyway, Frank Mason, little guy, can rebound better than probably anybody.
Yeah, pound for pound, best rebounder in probably the world. You know, it was interesting. We talked about Wayne Selden when he got moved to the wing, playing these two guards, that he would likely be crashing the boards more instead of running back like he, you know, used to have to as a two guard. And he, I haven't really looked like crunched the numbers or whatever, but it doesn't seem like his rebound numbers have gone up at all. And so that's kind of interesting, you know, like Frank is rebounding way better than a guy who is what is Wayne listed at 6'5", but he looks like a tight end. I mean, he's massive and should be able to bang with anybody, and his rebounds are not so high. Kind of interesting. Anyway, whatever. Wayne Selden brings a lot to the table this year, and rebounding is not one of them. That's okay. Andrew, is there anything else you want to talk about from this Tech game? I think we've probably
covered it. I think I'm done with Shopping Center Market Arena of Lubbock, whatever it's called.
What a name.
They didn't sell it out. They were selling tickets for $8 there in Lubbock. Students weren't back. They almost sold it out. I think they had 14,000. Good for them. But I don't think you'll ever get a cheaper KU ticket than $8.
No, I don't think so. Okay, let's talk about West Virginia, because that's kind of the next one on the slate, and it's going to be kind of an exciting game, I think. Self was quoted in the postgame saying, it'll be a war. How about that?
Ooh, Hatfield's McCoy's West Virginia war.
Yeah. Andrew, West Virginia is number 11 in KenPom. Here's some more KenPom numbers since we're on that kick right now. They are number 6 in defensive efficiency and number 26 in offensive efficiency. But here's the crazy numbers. Number 1 in turnover percentage, number 1 in steal percentage, number 1 in offensive rebound percentage, and number 4 in block percentage.
Yeah, they're a team of polar opposites, because I think they're almost last in the country in free throws attempted for the other team versus field goals allowed for the other team. Right. So they're going to foul you. You're not going to get many free throws attempted because they're just going to foul you. So they're just a team of extremes just because they play so crazy.
They play 9 deep. I mean,
here we go. It's free throws attempted versus field goals allowed. They are 351st, which
that's got to be
not last. It's very close. Let me pull that up.
It's close to the end.
It is last.
Okay.
351 is last of all Division I teams. Right behind UNC Wilmington, Northern Colorado, and Arkansas Pine Bluff.
How about that?
So they're going to foul you. We better be ready to shoot free throws. And really, better be ready to handle the ball, because they're going to try to steal it. So, I mean, of all KU teams in the past, you know, since West Virginia's been in the conference, I think that this team is best suited to dealing with that type of pressure.
Completely agree. One thing we haven't actually seen a ton of full court pressure this year, if you think about it. And I think it's because a lot of teams realize it's not a great recipe for success against KU. But it will be interesting to see what happens. I thought, honestly, kind of from the big guy lineup too, if they start pressing, you know, going full court, I assume they're working on that pretty much all week, kind of working on playing against, you know, 7 guys on the court, you know, hounding them all over the place and doing that type of thing on defense. It's the scout team. And it will be interesting to see how well they break the press and what they kind of bring from protecting the ball standpoint in this game. Obviously, this is a kind of a different beast, something we have not seen really. Actually, KenPom has KU losing this game 78-77 by the stats. It's an interesting team if you look at it. They've only lost one time, and it was to Virginia. But the rest of the games that they've played, like, it hasn't been that hard of a schedule. They do have 4 top 100 KenPom wins, but only 1 top 50 KenPom win, and that was K-State. So it's not like they've really gone out and, you know, played a really tough schedule.
And they probably should have lost that game.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Well, double overtime? K-State just couldn't close. Richmond, they got wins over San Diego State and Oklahoma State. Those are the only 4 teams that are in the top 100 in KenPom. So this is kind of their first real test other than Virginia, and they lost that Virginia game pretty handily. So we shall see what their reaction is to having KU come into the building. Like we said before, they got 9 guys who play at least 16 minutes. So they're going to be continually throwing guys onto the court. Led by Devin Williams, who is averaging 14 points and 9 boards a game. And then they got, honestly, it's kind of hard to, they don't necessarily have like the guy this year from a guard perspective, but they got 4 guys that are all pretty good. Carter, Page, and Miles are the ones that kind of jump out. So we'll see what happens in that game. I think you're right. I think it comes down to Mason and Graham really taking care of the ball.
And I think in some other spots too, one of the benefits of having a deep lineup is you can kind of massage who gets the minutes, you know, based on who you're playing. So I think you're going to see, obviously, a heavy dose of Frank Mason and Devontae Graham, but maybe less Brandon Green and more Sfi, you know, based on, you know, ball handling ability.
Maybe.
Brandon Green, not a great ball handler, especially against a press like that. Just a couple times he's been involved with it. I read on Twitter, and I wish I could give someone their attribution. I don't know who it was, but they said that Brandon Green is like playing a basketball video game and someone just mashing buttons. Yeah, I'd also like to add that. I'd also like to add in that he's also holding in turbo the entire game because he doesn't slow down at all, which is a problem. That's not always the right thing to do. So he holds in turbo and just mashes buttons, but the ball goes in. So maybe a little bit less Brandon Green, more Sfi. And, you know, they can play around with something, with some things, you know, based on with the big guys, you know, who best handles the pressure. I don't know who that is. Probably going to say it's Jamari and Landon just because they're more experienced in that. But who knows? Maybe a little bit of Carlton Bragg. He seems to be a fairly decent ball handler, can handle some stuff on the perimeter. But I don't know. I'm interested to see how they play it.
I am too. I think the big man thing will be interesting. And I don't know how much, like a Landon might actually play quite a bit in this game, because he can run down the court, and if you're thinking about it on like a, you know, breaking the press, he can actually catch the ball pretty well and pass the ball pretty well. He can't shoot it, but he's pretty good at, you know, kind of being that guy at the half court line that could catch the ball and hand off to the next, you know, to break the press. But I think you're right. This might be a Carlton game. It would be kind of fun to see that. He played really well. I think he deserves the minutes from the Tech game, and we shall see. And taking care of the ball is number one for me, though. And the good news is Frank and Devontae have been doing that really well this year. In terms of steals, you know, we've talked about how Mason and Graham are killing it. You know, they're averaging almost 2 steals a game. West Virginia has 3 guys averaging more steals than they do. So they take the ball away. Like, that's their game. And so the keys are going to be, you know, good guard play, playing our game, not playing their game. And then the third one to me is defensive rebounding, which hasn't been an enormous strength for us. You know, they're number one in offensive rebound percentage. So they're getting second chances and getting, you know, putbacks. We got to be able to do that and get our boards and start our offense. So, what do you think of this game? I think KenPom has it 78-77 West Virginia. What say you in terms of a prediction?
I think KU's got what it takes to pull it off. We've lost the past couple of years there. If you remember last year, Perry had a bunny to put it away at the end, but missed it. And the year before was the Wiggins game where he went off in the second half. We didn't win that, did we? We lost that game? Do you remember the Wiggins game? Let me pull it up. I've got it. Yeah, we lost that game, yeah. But Wiggins went crazy at the end. So we've lost like the past 2 years in Morgantown, so it's about time we get a win. I say we win, and we win by 5. I say 80-75.
I kind of like that. I think there's going to be a lot of possessions. I think it'll be we will score over 80 points. I think the first one to 80 wins. I think you're right. But at the same time, this West Virginia's looked good, but their defense doesn't scare me too much. They're going to speed up play, and we can play that game. So, I mean, I see a scenario where KU loses this game, and I see a scenario where KU wins by like 12 or 13 points. I mean, don't you? I mean, doesn't this kind of seem like our team is pretty well suited for this kind of game?
I think so, too. I mean, we're pretty quick. And, you know, that's pretty well suited to playing against those fast teams. You know, don't allow them to set up the press. Run the whole time. And that's kind of the way we've been playing, and that's going to bode well against West Virginia, especially if we keep the ball. I mean, if we turn the ball over like we did in the first half against Texas Tech, you know, we're not going to have very much luck. But if we can keep track of the ball, play our own game, I feel pretty good about it. Better than I have in previous years.
Exactly. I think that's a good way to put it. It is a tough place to play, so, you know, you never know, but it will be fun, certainly, and that will be on Tuesday, Andrew, because on Monday, there's a football game of some import that people will be watching on a variety of channels.
So here. Before we were talking, before the podcast, to the listeners, Kevin didn't really know or forgot who was playing in the national championship game.
You know, I would have come. I would have figured it out. You didn't give me enough time to answer. Whatever, Andrew.
So who do you have?
College football ended a long time ago.
Who do you have?
Me.
Notre Dame or Nebraska?
No, that's not.
Oh, okay.
Oklahoma and Clemson are playing, and I think
Alabama.
Alabama. Why did I say Oklahoma? Alabama and Clemson. Sorry, I was literally looking at the word Oklahoma on my screen. Alabama and Clemson. Whatever, Andrew. I'm done with football. It's not football season.
We did lose Kevin Kane to Northern Illinois.
That's sad. I did see that.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
He got.
We like him. He was one of my favorite players when I was in school.
I agree. He got a D coordinator job, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Good for him. Good for him. Maybe he'll come back and be a D coordinator for Kansas. Or maybe he'll like rise up the ranks and be a head coach in 20 years or 15 years and he'll take over for David Beatty, who's got a statue outside Memorial Stadium because he averaged.
He's not that old. He can get a head coaching job in 5 years, maybe. He's good.
Right. We'll see. All right. Well, Andrew, let's talk about the Big 12 for a minute because there were some fun games this week in the Big 12. Baylor was the one that kind of jumped up to me. Baylor goes up to Ames and beats Iowa State yesterday. What do you think of that game?
Game was pretty interesting. I turned it off for the second half. We were out doing something and then came back and saw that they were down, or that Iowa State was down, and then Baylor, you know, came back and won. You know, just it's an interesting matchup when you have a team like Iowa State and Baylor, you know, heavy perimeter team versus heavy post team. And this time the post team won, you know, out-rebounded them or did pretty well rebounding-wise. And Iowa State's got McKay, but you know, that's where you got to take advantage of them.
Exactly. And they did. And I don't know if you remember this, Andrew, but KU beat Baylor by like 28 points. So kind of an interesting, you know, obviously the different teams and different night and whatever, different building. But does this make you kind of wonder a little bit about how good Iowa State is?
No, they're pretty good. Okay. You know, I think they're pretty good. Just kind of ran into a different style of team that they weren't really ready for. They're going to be there at the end of the year. They're going to be there in the tournament. And it'll always be tough to go into Ames. So I'm not really concerned. They just lost that game. They lost that game last year, too.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yep. Well, I don't know. I think it says a little something, but I'm not willing to take it much farther than that. And then TCU beat Texas in a game. Texas just continues to baffle me a little bit. TCU, who I thought, you know, coming into this game was by far the worst team in the Big 12. They got crushed by Oklahoma State, who I thought was the second worst team in the Big 12. And then TCU goes and beats Texas, who beat North Carolina earlier this year. I have no idea what Texas is. Do you?
I don't get it.
I don't either.
And maybe it's just, you know, I don't think that Cameron Ridley is, you know, obviously it makes him a worse team. But does it make you that much worse not having them on the floor? Because other than KU, if we're going by recruit wise, and you know the highly touted recruits coming in to play, Texas is number two. You know, based on guys they recruited and what their ranks were. So
yeah.
It's not like they don't have talent on that team. They do. But it's a little shocking. I think that team's going to, you know, make some noise a little bit in the Big 12, but they're probably not going to make the tournament, you know, based on the way they're playing and the wins that they have.
Yeah, they're going to have to make go on a real run, including beating like a KU or an OU twice or something. You know, they're going to have to do something to really show the committee, because they are just completely confusing, and I just kind of shake my head.
I'm looking at their wins, and they beat North Carolina. But other than that win, their best win is probably – no, it is K-State is their best win.
Yeah, there you go. And then we had OU beat K-State. K-State did cover that spread, which is nice. So West Virginia beat Oklahoma State, who I think is not good. And then earlier this week, Iowa State beat Tech and covered – That spread, what was it, plus 10 I was telling you about?
It was 9.
Brian Haney came in, refused to talk about it, but might have talked about it offline after that game with me. So he said he was thinking of me after the game. West Virginia over TCU as well. So let's talk some power rankings here, Andrew. I know this is the number one thing that everyone tunes in for.
Play the song.
I don't have it queued up.
Okay.
It's going to...
Go Power Rankers.
Oh, crap. All right. I do have it queued up. You ready? Yep. Here we go.
The power lies on their side. Go Power Rankers.
All right, Andrew. I think there's probably like 3 people out there that might like that, and probably like 1,000 that don't.
One of them is you. One of them is me. There's one other person.
One other person likes Go Power Rankers. That's okay. I think, you know, between the three of us, I think it's
that's for
it.
Us. All right. That's for us.
So Go Power Rankers. I got KU number 1, Oklahoma number 2. We got that much. Now it gets interesting. I have Iowa State still number 3 over Baylor and West Virginia. What do you think of that?
I agree.
Okay.
They were 1-2, so they've got losses. Iowa State has losses to Oklahoma and Baylor. I still put them 3.
I do too. But there's arguments now. And then Baylor, West Virginia, also some interesting arguments. I actually have Baylor ahead of West Virginia right now.
Is that based on that Iowa State win? No, because yes. West Virginia's 3-0. I mean, they're the only other team than KU that's 3-0.
I know. So that's why I think most people would have West Virginia ahead of Baylor. I know KenPom does, but I got to see this game on Tuesday to give West Virginia any real credit, because they just haven't played anybody that jumps out to me and makes me think, gosh, they're a really great team.
So in the Big 12, they've played Kansas State, TCU, and Oklahoma State. So bottom 5 teams.
Yes.
Bottom 4 teams.
On 4 teams.
So yeah, I can see that. I mean, they're going to have the meat of their schedule coming up. And they've got a couple other. I mean, their SEC matchup is Florida. So that'll be interesting to see, too.
Yeah.
I like this Big 12 SEC thing in the middle of the season. I think
it's random.
That'll be fun to see. But so, okay, I'm a little more willing to let West Virginia move up, maybe ahead of Baylor. Maybe ahead of Iowa State, but not yet. But I'm okay with you putting them at 5 behind Baylor.
If West Virginia beats Kansas, I think they jump up to 3 or 4. So
probably I would say
three was a bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm willing to allow that. And then the bottom half of the Big 12, I actually have Texas Tech number 6 still. What do you think of that?
I agree.
Nice. All right.
Number
7. This was difficult. I actually have K-State number 7. They're 0-3 in the Big 12, so they're bottom of the standings.
And you know what? It doesn't look any better.
No, they might be 0-6 to start the Big 12.
Yeah, but I still think I agree with where that goes.
Can you put Texas up there after losing to TCU?
Let's look forward just a little bit. They've got Texas Tech at home on Tuesday.
Okay.
But that will be interesting. If Tubby Smith and the Red Raiders can go into Manhattan and beat K-State, oof, then it doesn't look good for K-State going forward.
Agreed. I'm not sure. Man, yeah. I don't know. They might be 0-6, but right now I still have them ahead of Texas, Oklahoma State, and TCU rounds out the bottom of the Big 12. Do you agree with those numbers, or do you like TCU ahead of OSU or Texas since they recently won that game?
I don't know. You could have put those in any order, and I'd probably say I have no idea.
I don't think TCU is any good. And maybe that just says more about Texas being really, really not good, but so confusing. All right. Well, Andrew, this week we've obviously got Tuesday, KU at West Virginia. You mentioned also Tech at K-State. Both of those will be fun games. And then Iowa State at Texas. This would be a nice time for Texas to show that they are a legitimate team, potentially a tournament team. And then Wednesday, TCU at Baylor is boring. Oklahoma at Oklahoma State will be boring. Saturday, TCU at KU would hopefully be boring. Baylor at Tech should be interesting.
I like that one.
Yeah. And Iowa State at K-State could potentially be interesting. So that's – and then West Virginia at OU. So there's some good matchups on Saturday.
I think we'll really know about Iowa State this week. They've got two road games. They got at Texas and at K-State. Always tough to play two road games in a row like that. I think we'll know a lot about them, you know, how Steve Prohm has them ready to play on the road. Never really could figure that out under Fred Hoiberg, you know, excelling on the road. Always would lose some random games, but maybe Steve Prohm's got, you know, different trick up his sleeve. But, you know, Texas and K-State should beat them, but, you know, if they happen to lose one of those, then they've got, you know, Oklahoma coming in. It's going to be tough. It goes to show you, the Big 12 is going to be so hard this year. Losses are going to be coming all over the place.
I think you're right, and hopefully KU can just sit back, let everybody just lose a game here or two or three or four or five, take care of business in Allen Fieldhouse. You know, probably going to drop a couple on the road, but you know, this is kind of the thing, Andrew. You get into the Big 12 season, you get into conference season generally, and it's just so different. Like, all across the country. I mean, it's the non-con season is kind of fun, but you get into conference play and you start to figure out, all right, who is a real team and who is not. And like Virginia losing two games this week to teams that are not very good. Arizona losing two games this week. Like it's kind of wild seeing some of these programs out there, you know, okay, are you for real or are you not? And you get into conference play and you can lose games on the road that just don't look like you should lose, but it's conference play.
I think you're right. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, OU responds to, because we could talk about all these losses, but you know, when's OU going to lose a game? When's KU going to lose a game? Is this really going to become a two horse race between those two? I don't know. It could be, you know, just a battle down the road with those two teams. And I think those two teams are going to push each other. I really do. And I think that, you know, if you see the OU's not losing behind you, you got a trip to Norman coming up. You know what? Better not drop a game.
Better keep winning. It's going to be fun, man. I just hope KU can stay on a streak, you know, and keep that number one ranking, because it's sure fun to have the number one team in the country and play like it and deserve it. And they do right now. And they haven't done anything to say that they don't. So just keep those wins coming. Hopefully we can get one at West Virginia and at home against TCU. And we will be back, you and I, Andrew, talking about those two games next Sunday, next week. Until then, do you have anything good for the people?
You know what? We had a pretty good response this week from people rating and reviewing us. We would love to hear from you in the iTunes comments. So please just give us a little, rate us whatever you want, but maybe leave us a little note in the comments. We might read some going forward. Something you'd like to see more on the podcast, maybe you'd like to
see
less.
We should read some right now.
I don't have it pulled up.
I do. I have it pulled up.
Okay, you can read a couple.
All right. Corey J, he says, great. Hashtag RCJH. That would be Rock Chalk Jayhawk right there for you, Andrew. Let's see. We also have from Raz 1001001. That's a sweet name. The best is the title, and then underneath that it says the best.
So oh,
it's like that's what he was going for.
Twice. Right?
That's all we need. That's all we need. Number. This is from L Fish 2113. The title is MIHM, which I kind of like that.
Was that Chris Chris Mim, Kevin? Is that what? Mm-hmm. Former Texas center Chris Mim? Is that what that is?
Oh, that's a good question. I think what he's going for is, ma'am, I'm Hunter Mickelson.
Oh.
MIHM.
I know. I got it.
Now you get. Now you're with it. Now we got it. This says, born and raised in KC, now living in Athens, Georgia. Tough finding anyone to talk KU with in the heart of SEC country. But I'm thankful for you guys keeping me connected. Keep it up and rock chalk. Thank you, L Fish. This is from K Singer. Excellent. What we listen to when driving to the KU games. Well, I hope you are on your way to the TCU game right now, K Singer. And this is for you. Last one. Dana Mel says, good stuff. These guys love KU, especially basketball. They come up with some funny bits like, ma'am, I'm Hunter Mickelson, and keep me informed of other KU pop culture phenomenons like, bitch, I'm Frank Mason. They also have interesting takes on what's going on in the Big 12. I look forward to hearing new shows. So thank you very much to all those who've left reviews. We will read a couple more in the next show if they are out there. It really does help us get the podcast out to new listeners. So thank you so much. If you have a gift for Bob Davis, a gift idea, you need to tweet them to Andrew and I at Jayhawk Talk or at Sherlock Hoops with the hashtag Bob Davis Gifts. Let's get Bob some gifts on the way out of town. Should be some interesting ones out there. I will put a few of them out and to hopefully get the ball rolling. Andrew, anything else before we get out of here?
Rock Chalk Jayhawk. Big game Rock on Chalk. Tuesday against West Virginia Mountaineers. I feel pretty good about it.
There will be no couches burned in my residence, but I hope to sit on the couch and watch the game. So there you go. We will catch you next time on the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. Thank you so very much for listening. We love you all very much. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get the cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking
speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
Which is maybe, if you're gonna like ask me what the greatest soundtrack of all time is, I'm going to probably say Friday,
Space Jam.
Friday, Space Jam, and then I'm going to go Young Guns.
Interesting. Ooh, good question. Space Jam's really up there for me.
Yeah, everyone owned that as a kid, right? If you were a 90s kid, yeah. If you were a 90s kid.
Hell yeah. I like broke that CD. Hit 'em high.
Well, I mean, our theme song is...
That's true. Going straight to the hole. You ain't got no game. Who had the best verse in that song?
I don't know if I've listened to the whole thing. I listened to the first 15 what? Seconds over 100 times.
You don't... Oh, man. All right. So... Let's remember... Who all was in it again? I know Coolio was in it. LL Cool J.
Are we talking Method about just that... Okay, Be Real, Coolio, Method Man, LL Cool J, and Busta Rhymes.
Ooh, I forgot about Be Real.
I don't even know who Be Real is.
I've heard of him. I think I like Busta.
Oh,
this is a good question. I gotta pull it up.
You heard of the dream team? I'm listening to it right now.
All right, turn it up.
Earthlings, we have now taken over your radio.
Going straight to the hole. You ain't got no game. I'm breaking you out the frame, coming through like a train. Not gonna take over the whole world, is my goal. With my unstoppable crew, taking all control. You can't get none of this. We're running this. Well, take up Earthshaker, 3-point gun in this. Get off the lane, I'm coming through, and if you don't wanna move, I'm coming right through you.
It's like inch by inch and step by step, I'm closing in on your position, and destruction is my mission. No, 8 is not enough, the whole squad better duck. It's like switch when I bust, now your whole crew is dust. Coming through my area, I'ma have to bury you. The real scream team on your screen scene. It's like showdown under Rango, tell me who wanna tangle with the ghetto witch, doctor, neighborhood superhero.
We want it all,
like it's only 3 seconds to score to win the game. Came to bring the ultimate pain upon the brain, untamed. You won't like it when I change into a type strange. Make low maniacal, monster in the game. And I got my eye on you, dead shot aim. As free throws keep coming down like rain. You feeling me, I'm feeling you, the monster gang. I'm telling you, pass me the rock, now I'm headed to the basket. Get up on my way, it's what you better do. My tactics is unsportsmanlike conduct, you better ask it. Don't get no better than that. You catch my drift, you get stripped by ball handlers, who by swag hammer. Danger, you dealing with official hoop bangers with hang time.
time like a coat hanger. Jug with thunderous 360 degree tight dunks. What up, Dr. Monster Funk?
Lightning strikes, the court lights get dim. Supreme competition is about to begin. Above the rim, finessing it, moves is animated. Once I get the ball in, I can't be deflated. A rugged part, my monsters is getting money. When clicks get the bugging, I'm snatching up their bunnies. Every step I take shakes the ground. I make you break your ankle, son, shake you down. This is my planet, about business, the best that ever done it. Can I get a witness? A cumulus cloud bring darkness up above. You in it for the money or in it for the love, MJ? 23 ways to make a pay. Lounging in the mothership back around my way. A 28 light years old. If the refs get political, dribble like Bob Dole. Am I getting lyrical? Daddy, I think so. Monster dropping flavor fluid, so drink slow.
Talking about